Erasmus is indeed in the heads of the All Blacks, and hopefully those are the South African cries of celebration we'll be hearing at roughly 11 o'clock tonight. It is, of course, the day. It's Rugby World Cup Final 2023. It doesn't get any bigger. The greatest rivalry in the history of the sport, the two most successful teams in the history of the sport, and this great competition clashing tonight at 9 p.m. It is South Africa against the All Blacks. We are lucky enough to be back at Forres for today's edition of the Inside Pass, the Foresters Arms in Cape Town, in the suburb of Newlands. And I'm joined again by Rob Howie, who's taken the great trek from down the road where he lives, and he's joined us. We're sitting outside here on the deck. It's 5 o'clock only, and already the vibe is building outside here. I chatted to Lorraine a bit earlier, the owner. She was already running around crazily and told me, Rob, that 800 people have booked for inside, 800 people expected outside. I mean, you and I have both been to cricket matches and PSL games where we've had significantly less than that.
Absolutely, Lloyd. It's all changed here. I mean, it's an institution I unashamedly know quite well, and it's changed considerably. You know, they've squeezed the cars out of the main car park simply because of the sheer volume of interest among people who want to have outdoor tables. So the staff are going to be on their toes tonight. Let's hope that the Springboks have managed to find a little bit of sort of twinkle in their toes as well after the exertions, the heroic exertions of last week, and that they can finally use the World Cup final spirit to drive them to 80 minutes of hell-bent dedication to what will really be a special task if we can pull it off.
This is, of course, only one location that we're at. I mean, our news and sports journalists are scattered all over the country today, and this is pretty much the scene everywhere. I mean, wherever you are in the country, you wouldn't have to go too far to see the vibe starting to build up. I mean, there's fan parks everywhere. The malls have got big screens out, and it's one of those great South African moments and one of those great South African days that we have seen before, that we saw in 2019. But, you know, the guy who was playing music here earlier before we started even said, you know, regardless of the result tonight, it almost feels like South Africa's won already because we're in this situation. I mean, it does, you know, it's impossible not to think of 2019 when you're experiencing things like this.
Absolutely, and it's a good point you make as well about how, there's so much honour already achieved by this team. That you hope that there'll still be enough gas in the tank for one last effort. But as you said, they've already been super heroic. I mean, they've got further than some of us might have expected, considering the brutality of the draw that they got this time. By the time they've played the All Blacks tonight, they will have been involved in games against all of the other six teams in the top six on the world rankings at this tournament. So the fact that the Springboks are still alive and kicking is an incredible testimony to the sort of courage and grit that they still have.
Yeah.
And frankly, you won't lose even if they do come up short in the final tonight. A final which, by the way, I have a risingly good feeling about from the Springbok point of view.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting to hear. I'm not so sure myself. Geez, wanted so badly, but the All Blacks have just gotten better. Yes, they haven't played the kind of quality of a position that the Boks have, sure, but they've just gotten better, haven't they? I mean, their preparation wasn't great going into the tournament. There's obviously that hiding they took at the hands of the Boks at Twickenham, but you know, it just kind of looked like the All Blacks of old as the tournament has progressed. Rob, is this, you know, you don't want to ever take anything away from the previous classes that have done it. You know, 95. No one really knew what to expect from that team, and they did something so historic and special by beating the All Blacks there and, you know, unifying a country in the way that they did. 2007, Jake's team was just clinical and a brilliant, brilliant Bok team. And obviously 2019 was, you know, one of the most special days South African sport's ever seen. But is this the biggest game of rugby that we've ever had in Bok rugby? You know, it's a big claim to make, but I think the carrot is that it's the first to four. You know, that's the one. It's the one that, like, really pushes you ahead of anyone else on the planet. I mean, looking at it that way, is there an argument to be made for this being the biggest Bok game ever?
I think it is. I was thinking that very thought on my way here, and I think almost undoubtedly it is. You know, you've got a group of players quite fittingly, the nucleus of that 2019 side has been held together very determinedly over the subsequent 4 years, and the Springboks, you know, do look primed. You know, I think it's going to be very important that a lot of our players tonight are the sort of been there, done that type. You know, so the butterflies may settle earlier for a lot of our players. It's funny, you know, I don't have quite the same sort of trepidation that I do normally before a World Cup final featuring the Springboks. Maybe it's because we are 3 from 3 in finals. We have such a fantastic record in Rugby World Cup finals that's immediately a sort of pacifier. But just a good feeling around the fact that the Boks did have a little bit of a sort of ebb over the quarterfinals and the semis. There was always that fear that the semi might be the one where we potentially slipped on the sort of mental banana peel, and as we know, we very nearly did, but we managed to pull that one through. So I'd be expecting a significantly improved Springbok showing tonight. That's kind of what this team is made of, and I'd be surprised if they are flat-footed all over again. I think they're ready to throw the kitchen sink at the All Blacks, even if we find out eventually that that's not enough.
Yeah. What makes today's game so special as well, results aside, is that it's also about legacy, and it's the end of an era. Regardless of what happens, we know for a fact that Jacques Nienaber is on his way to Ireland after this. We don't know what will happen with Rassie. He's obviously contracted until 2025, but you know, those two guys have been together everywhere. Everything they've done of any significance, they've done together. It's hard to see them not being reunited at some point. So we don't know how much longer we have Rassie for. Dwayne Vermeulen is done. What a just heroic warrior he's been for Bok rugby over the years. He's done. This is his last dance with the Boks. We don't know what's going to happen with Siya Kolisi. How much more Test rugby is there left in Siya's tank? And you know, the prospect of him going back to back as a skipper, and then you factor in everything he's done for rugby in this country. I mean, that legacy is just such a huge theme of this game today.
Yeah, as you say, Siya is such a central figure emotionally on this occasion. It's going to be, you know, absolutely spine tingling if he manages to be the first captain to do the repeat job, and of course join Richie McCaw in having been able to lift the trophy twice, as McCaw did in 2011 on home turf and 2015. Let's also not forget that the Springboks have had to do, you know, the bulk of their heroism sort of out of the country. We've only had one home World Cup. We've had to, you know, go the hard yards in tournaments, you know, around the world since 1995, and have kept on, you know, having good World Cups, sometimes spectacular World Cups, it'll just be so unbelievably. I mean, what more can you ask of Siya as a nation builder? 2019 was special enough. 2023, I mean, we'll just be absolutely, you know, oozing with pride if Siya can lead them to the crown. I love his whole calm calmness, his whole demureness, you know, in the last few weeks. Even if his rugby, his own rugby in the last fortnight has perhaps tapered off a little bit after that sort of amazing initial thrust where he came back against the odds into the team. He was so desperate to really do well that he actually did really well. You know, it was phenomenal that he actually got through the psychological impediments of the knee injury, the long-term knee injury he'd had, and hit the ground running. And so maybe a little bit of a sort of fall away was coming. And I have a feeling that he might be one of the guys who hits the rucks really hard tonight, who makes a big statement early in the match. It wouldn't surprise me, even if he only plays a sort of 40-minute shift or something. But that Sia, you know, really, really does lead from the front, as he so often does anyway, tonight. I think we'll see a snorting performance from Sia Kolisi.
Yeah, they're all going to leave it all out there. And I think you'll see a lot of those 40-odd minute performances, given, you know, how they've gone with the bench, and that you've got a whole another pack that you need to bring on and introduce into that game at some point. We're going to go, I think, Bertram, do we have trucks on the line? We do. Bertram doing a sterling job here, connecting us to all of our guests. But Kaniso Truck, who's also done a sterling job for 7 weeks now, we don't know how he's still standing. This man has been working 14-hour days, 7 days a week.
Press 2 to send your message.
And it sounds like Trucks is gone. He's working too hard. I think his phone's died. But we'll try to get him back on the line where we can. It's obviously some connection issues just there in France. But Rob, let's talk about that 7-1 just briefly. I mean, yes, it was tough on Marnie Lubbock, you know, given that he was the obvious guy who had to sit out. You had to bring Andre Pollard back in because of the conditions. It's raining there tonight. We're expecting awful weather. Pollard just has that game. He has that World Cup pedigree. Marnie Lubbock is a brilliant playmaker. And he missed out because there's only one guy on the bench. It shows you how much they rate Willy LaRue, that he's the only guy that they've gone for on that bench in the back line. But were you surprised when Rassie and Jock came out and actually went 7-1?
I was not so much surprised by 7-1. I was surprised by the fact that there was no scrum half in the backline replacements. The fact that they've gone with Willy LaRue as the rather mercurial, unpredictable Willy LaRue as the only backline replacement, it does make me nervous. You know, in the old days, hooker and scrum half were the two designated reserves in a first-class rugby team for many, many years, and there was a reason for that. And the fact that that Faf de Klerk doesn't have any backup, that he's suddenly back in from a cold, remember, as the starting scrum half, so he's got a little bit of, you know, sort of re-acclimatizing to do. I do think there's a huge risk involved in not having a second specialist scrum half on the bench, but you know, we'll see later tonight the wisdom of that. You know, it's there's no question that Faf de Klerk fits very nicely into the Springbok game plan. He's been, you know, integral to their whole furniture really since about 2017 onward, or 2018 onward, when Rassie came on board. And his game is well suited to the Springbok overall game plan. So from that point of view, no quibbles about his selection. But I am very, you know, very worried about the fact that there is no specialist scrum half on the bench. It's almost unheard of, you know, these days.
But that's just the way these guys operate. I mean, out of the box is just where Jacques and Rassie live. Let's go to one of our early birds here at Far East. I mean, kickoff's still 4 hours away, but James Goble from Cape Town is here nice and early, getting stuck in already. Thanks so much for joining us, James.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, how are you feeling about tonight? A bit of nerves, a bit of excitement?
No, I'm nervous. I'm very nervous. Started queuing early, but yeah, I think it's going to be a cracking game. But I'm very nervous. Well nervous for this one.
Yeah, geez. I mean, I think we all are. It's one of those games that, you know, given the history of the All Blacks, and you know, you just can never count them out. It doesn't matter how well the Boks are playing, you just never know what kind of All Black team is going to turn up on the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think there's something about this Boka team that they just arrived for an All Black game, and with that 7-1 split, I mean, I don't think anyone is expecting it. Maybe a 6-2, but I think there's a bit of excitement in the air with that. I don't know, I'm hoping Rassie and Jacques have seen something that we haven't seen, and yeah, not having another scrum off on the bench to cover. I mean, anything can happen, but yeah, I think it's going to be a cracking day.
Yeah, no, we've said a few times that it feels like Rassie and Jacques are living in a bit of a rugby matrix. You know, they're seeing lines and numbers and symbols everywhere, where all of the rest of us are seeing tackles and kicks. Yeah, what's pleased you the most about the Boks? How do you think they've gone, James, over the course of the tournament? There was obviously the Ireland loss, where things didn't go well off the kicking tee. But, you know, generally speaking, have you been pleased with what you've seen?
Yeah, I just think, yeah, the way we've kind of come back with the kicking and just kind of restored a bit of faith there. I think Marnie unlucky to miss out today, but he really did kind of show that he can do what Pollard can do with the boots and get those points for us. So very unlucky to miss out today. I just think, yeah, the depth that sort of comes through, I mean, the wings that we have, I mean, to take as many scrum offs as we did to the World Cup and then have them play fly off and then in the wing with Grant Williams and Pfaff, I mean, that's just incredible. I just think our depth and the versatility of our players being able to, I think we all kind of thought that if there was an injury somewhere that we would be able to bring Pollard in, no matter who got injured, and then to have someone like Dion Fury and then our other flanker who was able to step into that hooker role.
Yeah.
I think just that versatility, I think, has been the most surprising thing. I mean, we all knew we had a bit of depth, and that's what Rusty and Jacques were building on from 2019 and before that, and we built depth, and now we've sort of built this versatility that we can kind of play off, that we can afford to play a 7-1 split where we have Cheslin, who has been said he can step and scrum off if something happens to Pfaff early, and we have all these players that can just slot into a role wherever we need them. I mean, we haven't had to call on that yet, and I hope we don't have to, touch wood, we don't have to call on that today, but we have these players who can fill these roles that we need. I mean, that gives us this opportunity to have a 7-1 split, and we saw how impactful that 7-1 split can be. So I'm excited to see that. I mean, I don't really want to see anyone in the back line come off because it's going to cause a bit of issues for us. But
yeah,
I think it's going to be exciting to see guys step into a bit of a different role if needed. I mean, I think we can cover that.
We always say in the media that one of the most polarizing figures on that Bok team is always Willy LaRue. Now we've got a guy here, Rob, a neutral. What's your take on Willy LaRue, the only guy on the bench? You happy to see his name there, or would you have preferred someone else?
Jeez, I won't share some of the comments shared from the table I just left. I mean, there are a lot of guys who aren't quite on Willy's side, but I think, I mean, we all watched that Drive Survive over the Springbok. Chasing the Sun. That was a brilliant sort of series that we all got to see, and kind of got to see a bit of the insight with their sort of renewed faith in Willy and kind of stuck with him in 2019. I thought maybe beyond that would be it for him, but here we are again, and we all just got to give him a bit of faith today. I mean, we need him to kind of show up today, because he's going to come on, and whatever he does, he's got to be good. He's got to take a few high balls. I think Bowden Barrett and the guys are going to put him under pressure, and he's got to field those high balls, and he's got to be good today. I'm not going to sit here and bash him just yet, but I mean, I think at the end of the night, if things go against us, which I hope they don't, I mean, maybe we'll have a bit of a bash session, but but I'd like to think Willy's going to come through for us. He's got at least one good game left in him before we say goodbye to him, and obviously Dwayne's last game as well, which is quite emotional, so it's a big day.
Drive to Survive wouldn't be a terrible name, Rob, for a Bok documentary, given how they won that World Cup. The Mall was obviously a big player. Absolutely. And I suspect they might go back there today. You know, if the conditions are as wet and awful as people say they are, then you could see a bit of a more traditional Bok-style Pollard selection. Also speaks to that a little bit. But James, talk to me a bit about just outside of the game itself. Moments like this as a South African sports fan. I mean, when we come together like this, you know, you can see it out here already. And Stellenbosch, now Rob and I were chatting, the Stormers are playing there, that, you know, it's a very good crowd for Euro C-Day. They're all going to watch there. Wherever you are in South Africa at the moment, you know, there's a good chance you're getting ready for a day of rugby that is just bigger than any other. And in these moments, South Africa just looks and feels a bit different, doesn't it?
Yeah, just the way we all come together. I mean, during the week I went shopping with someone who was desperately looking for Boca shirts, and they couldn't find anything. I mean, we walked through an entire mall and went through the whole town, and there's not a single Boca jersey. I mean, if you're a 5-year-old or 3-year-old, I mean, there was just nothing available. There wasn't even a pair of socks.
Traffic lights.
maybe at the traffic lights, but I mean, just from that point, I mean, you can't even get a Boca shirt. So it just goes to show you how much buy-in there's from fans and people, and how, I mean, I know 95 was massive, and to be in a similar place now where we're playing the All Blacks again, I mean, I think the streets are going to be crazy, and there's such an energy amongst the people, and I think we're in for something special. And I mean, I'm just hoping that a lot of what we generate in camp, maybe a video from Forries gets into the change room before the game, and they can just see what's going back, and some of the Cape Town guys get to see what's happening at Forries. I mean, I think all of that's so special, and I hope that just like adds fuel to the tank for them, and they can kind of draw from that and just get that feeling that's we all feel right now. I mean, it's obviously 6-7 hours before kickoff, and You know, I just wanted my SWAT here at Forres. I mean, and I mean, it's just going to get so much better as the night goes on. And yeah, I just feel, yeah, I mean, hopefully that energy is like passed on to the book and they can kind of use that to channel something and just bring out that great performance we know they can all have, because on their day, no one's going to touch them.
Yeah. We'll let you get back to your table. Hopefully you don't lose it, James. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we let you go, a quick prediction from you score-wise for the game tonight.
I have the Booker taking it by 5.
Yeah.
And I feel it's going to be very close for most of the game. I reckon we're going to be about 2 points ahead for the last 20. And I'm predicting a bit of a late penalty for Pollard just to kind of close it out with 3. And
then,
maybe from 55 meters out. And that's sort of my take. So I reckon it's going to be close, but I reckon there'll be a late penalty that maybe closes it for us. And I mean, that's my hope and dream.
Thank you, James. Enjoy the game. Thanks for chatting to us.
Great, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, cool. James.
Jeez, Rob, I think we could be out of a job soon. You know, you speak to Bok fans, and it always strikes me how knowledgeable, you know, South African rugby fans are. I mean, guys are invested in this game,
big time. And the opinions have been flying all week around selection, around, you know, game plan, etc., etc. So our fans are unique in terms of the intensity of their interest. I think it's ironically matched only perhaps by New Zealand fans. Apparently, when you go to New Zealand, you know, every second person you meet is a devoted rugby analyst, and it's quite, that's also quite formidable. So maybe it's appropriate that should we say two educated sets of rugby fans will be going head to head at Stade de France tonight.
Yeah. Let's try go to Kaniso Chwaku again. I know he's had a bit of cell phone issues there. Chwaks, I thought the cell phone signal would be great at the top of the Eiffel Tower.
Well, I'm actually now finding a way to get to Renfrew Dosha Road, go to Cafe de Or, because it's a place where a lot of South Africans congregate for rugby matches here in France. It's the Renfrew Dosha Road. So I was actually on a train, and this particular train now needs to stop at the Châtelet train station. Apparently, there's an issue with the train station, so the train went past, went back, and went past again. So it was that challenge that we faced just now. But anyway, I'm actually heading to the Café Oz now, and then from there, I then get off to the Stade de France. But the rain that people have been praying about and been talking about has now finally arrived. It rained significantly. It rained quite significantly when I was at Arc de Triomphe. So now it's dissipated for a bit. It's come back, but one needs to also understand that it may not be raining in that side of Paris as Stade de France is in the north, but it is raining this side of Paris. So most probably it will be raining that side in the next hour or so.
What kind of rain are we talking here, Trucks, for the people who obviously aren't in Paris with you? Are we talking Durban winter rain? Are we talking Highveld summer rain? I mean, you know, is it cold and windy? Is it heavy rain? Is it a drizzle? What are we looking at?
Look, it's a drizzle that comes and goes. I think the key part is whether if it's the wind. So the wind may be a slight issue. Last week with the South Africa England game, there was quite a howly gusty wind, and that kind of sold. I mean, it kind of gave off a Cape Town winter's feeling. Today it's just your normal cold autumnal day in Paris with the rain coming in, coming out. I think the more consistent it becomes, as it has been for the past 20 minutes, because I've seen, like, especially when I was sitting in the station, I saw people coming in with very wet umbrellas. So I think there's no wind to speak of at the moment. The rain just gets heavy, gets light, gets heavy. So it just goes through the motion. So most probably that's where it will stay for this particular game. But when you look at, I'm just looking at the current trees now, there's just a small rustle at best of the leaves. So there isn't a strong and gusty wind that made things rather difficult last week.
Yeah. Trucks, have you seen an influx of South Africans? Give us a sense of what it's like on the ground this week. I mean, have you seen more South Africans arriving in Paris this week? I mean, do we have a good presence there for this one?
No, there is. I mean, yesterday there was quite a significant South African attendance at the boxers, captains, run. I mean, this thing, sports minister, Zizikonda was there, justice minister, Ronald Lamola. There were also quite a selection of Bok fans. It was easily the best attended captain's run throughout throughout the tournament. I mean, there were the two open sessions where people attended in Toulon, but yesterday's captain's run was very well attended. There have been people who've been coming in. I mean, I've been inundated with requests to point people to where they can actually buy tickets. I mean, I was speaking to one box staff member. They're only allowed to get two complimentary match tickets. I think one staff member has had to shell out around 400,000 rand to buy tickets for people because the tickets are quite expensive. One of the most expensive tickets you'll get. The category one ticket, from a South African perspective, will sit you back 21,000 rand.
Yo.
So, and then your cheap seats will cost you 2,100 rand. Look, it's very weird. And I think also, remember, there was quite an offloading of tickets that's taken place over the past 2 weeks. Remember that the tickets were offloaded after the France game. Tickets were offloaded after the England game. So one would feel that now those tickets have been stepped up. So we are expecting capacity attendance because it is South African, it is New Zealand. It is the rugby neutral, the rugby purist's final. You may hate on the Southern Hemisphere, but you can't hate on the rugby pedigree that two teams in the final bring.
Trucks, it's Rob here. I hope all things are going well for you over there. Been reading your copy with a lot of interest. The thing that I'm particularly interested in asking you is, you know, considering you've been close to the camp for several weeks now, and seen the sort of the build up and the sort of the degree of sort of accumulated attrition and fatigue in certain Springbok bodies. How did you feel about the selection of some of the players who have looked a little sort of leaden at times in the sort of quarterfinal, semi-final stage? I'm talking, you know, of players like a Jesse Creel, a Steven Kitsoff, one or two others. There was a case, obviously, before the we heard the selection for the final, people saying perhaps they could have freshened up the starting team a little bit. But is your sense that, you know, everybody is really, really ready and willing to empty the tank, whether bomb squatter or starter tonight?
I think it's the final. I think it's the final.
Yeah.
You empty that emotional world. You empty that physical world. You're not going to go to another final again for the next 4 years. You may not even get to another tournament final. One of the things that Andy Edwards, in an informal chat we had with him, he said you're not going to get any fitter. You're not going to get any stronger this week.
Yeah.
So it's effectively just guys managing themselves emotionally, managing themselves physically. Knowing full well that a 7-1 bench split actually allows for the forwards actually absolutely go hell for leather. I mean, that first 40.
Yeah,
Fafti Klepp put it very well by saying that if this is his last test match, this is a game where he's happy to leave his boots at the start of fun. So, you mentioned players who've looked rather set. I mean, Bok captain Siyakolisi probably has the biggest point to prove because he started the tournament and you've alluded to, in some of your very insightful pieces, in that he started the tournament very well, but he's just kind of gone off the boil. He went off the boil in the France game. He was quite incognito in the semi-final. But I think that the challenge of going up against Shannon Frizzell, because, I mean, Shannon Frizzell made things very uncomfortable for the Springboks when they played South Africa at in Auckland. And probably he was too dominant because there wasn't that physical point of difference. I mean, the Bok forwards. The Bok forwards have come in a very physical point of difference. If you look back, the fact that I think one of the things that we were worried about ahead of the England game was the emotional outpouring from the France game. And I think the guys haven't said it, but it's been very clear that they were very flat in the England game. It took the bench. The guys who really wanted to play, you had a lot in their emotional tank left. They were the ones who were...
You still there, Trucks?
I have everything to leave from a tank perspective. Yes, I'm still here. So they have everything to leave on the tank. So I think the forwards should be sorted. It's just a case of now just managing themselves as well as they can.
Mm. Yeah. Trucks, tell me, one of the things that we've noticed from the outside looking in is that there's been a big family presence around the box throughout this World Cup. I mean, just help us understand that. Have the families been with the players throughout the tournament? How do you think that's impacted their mindsets, especially in a final week like this where things can get so tense? And are the other teams doing this as well?
Yes, they are. I think New Zealand players have had their families over. I think it's over for the entire tournament. I think Dion Fury's been one, Andre Esterhazen's been one. Some players have had their spouses coming in, coming out. I mean, Jean Klein, I think, also said he is his family for the better part of the tournament. Remember, he has quite a young daughter. I think his daughter's only 8 months old at the moment. So I think it works because sometimes you need to be away from the rugby itself. You need to move away. You are in the rugby environment, but you need to move away from the game itself. And there's no better place to depart back and be with your family. And that family is within that same space with you. I mean, Sam Kane made a very good point at Thursday's press conference where he said, as much as it is the World Cup, the Rugby World Cup final, it is the biggest rugby occasion. It remains the game. And I think if the boxer and Chesney also put it succinctly that despite the occasion, it remains the game. And if the boxer are able to treat the final for the occasion that it is, but also treat it that it's another game of rugby that they need to win, I think that will put them in a good mindset. I think the boxer having their families, I mean, Chesney threw up his parents for 2 weeks. So it's been a very conducive, a happily conducive environment for them and an enabling environment that's allowed them to perform, to be at peak mental level.
And how are you feeling, Trucks? We're going to let you go now. It's been a long 7 weeks for you. But I mean, geez, you're at the finish line now. And I would imagine just a huge privilege for yourself and just a great experience to have been on the ground with the Boks throughout their World Cup title defense. How are the nerves for you going into this final stretch in the game tonight?
Look, for some reason, I'm a lot more calmer with this game as compared to last week. Last week, I was very tense. I was tense to a point where I have developed a certain set of routines. I didn't change them because I was so tense about last week's game. And I think what made last week's game so tense was that England were fired up. And I think also playing against Northern Hemisphere teams, you often feel that there could be elements or issues outside of rugby, outside of the game, that could contribute to a defeat. Whereas when you come to an All Black game, this is a game that South Africa can win or lose on rugby merit. We could get cleaned out. We could clean out the All Blacks. And you realize that this has been a game that's just on the rugby. If you look at the France game, there were subplots before the game. There was a refereeing subplot after the game. You look at the England game. There was a subplot before the game. There was the Mohi Monambi subplot after the game. Whereas this game has been squarely, this game was squarely about the rugby. This is a rugby rivalry, the best rugby rivalry in the world, the most decorated rugby rivalry in the world. I mean, Stick made a very good point of saying that the team that wins the World Cup today will have bragging rights for 8 years. Bragging rights 8 years in that the Boks, if South Africa wins, Leland will have to win the next World Cup to get to 4, and then we'll have to win the following World Cup to get to 5. So that for me actually sums it up, that at the end of the day, despite, to quote Jan de Koning, the circus that took place, this is a rugby game that has everything to gain or lose, but it remains the rugby game between the two best rugby nations in the world.
The stakes certainly couldn't be higher. Trucks, thank you so much for joining us. We'll let you get back to it. GCR, bring us the vibe from Paris. The readers are loving it. And good luck with the coverage tonight. You've done a great job. And you're almost at the end. I hope you enjoy the game tonight. Rob, it's raining in Paris, according to Mr. Trucker. We feared that might be the case. What does this mean? I mean, if we do expect, and if it is the case, that it's proper solid drizzle throughout the 80 minutes, I mean, what does that mean for the game of rugby that we can expect? I mean, finals historically are always, you know, a bit tighter than a normal game of test rugby. But I mean, with those conditions, can we expect a 13-12 or something like that? I mean, is that the way you see this going?
That could well be the case, Lloyd. I'm always one who looks at the weather radar before sort of major sports events. And I've been looking, I looked just a minute ago, one of my trustiest meteorological websites, was suggesting that perhaps it's actually going to be dry now after there was a suggestion of rain. It's apparently the rain has come through a little bit early. It doesn't look very significant. It looks like relatively small bands of rain. As Canuso said, it seems to be more of the sort of drizzle type than massive downpours. That means that we could see a reasonably conventional game of rugby. Look, let's not forget it's late autumn in Paris, probably getting a little bit chilly at night, so dew on the surface and moisture is not going to help the footing. I would say that if it is raining, maybe it plays a little bit into Springbok hands. The fact that South Africa have that second pack of forwards, you know, virtually a second full pack of forwards, meaning that if it does become a real World Cup arm wrestle and a weather-affected World Cup final arm wrestle, that forward power might become a massive, massive issue. So I think that in that respect, players like Erge Snyman, Oxenchair, all in really bristling form off the bench, are quite likely to be powerful influencers once the bomb squad starts to come on and do its thing. So I would, if I was a Springbok fan, I wouldn't be too perturbed by rain. But having said that, of course, New Zealand play an awful lot of rugby in rain back home.
They do.
They're not scared of it. You sometimes see some absolutely classic rugby, games of rugby, stretching back to the old Super Rugby days of South African participation, where you see glorious tri-laden games of rugby in appalling conditions in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So, you know, the New Zealanders can play ball in hand still, despite the impediment of bad weather. So we can't read too much into it, but I would be quietly confident in bok favour if there is reasonably consistent rain during the final.
Mm. We've got another guest with us, and it's a familiar face to anyone who pops into Furries for a beer or a bit of lunch or dinner. It's Lorraine, who runs the damn place. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks,
Lorraine.
Lloyd.
How are you doing?
Very well, Lloyd. Thank you.
Good, good, good. You've been busy. When I got here an hour or so ago, you were running around with food in your hands and trying to sort out bands, and you guys have got your hands full today.
Incredible. But I mean, we've just come in with so much inspiration, and we just know that we're going to do it tonight. So yeah. Every staff member from the cleaner right through to the management are just really inspired.
Yeah. You can't see it, obviously, but Lorraine's sitting here. She's just had her face painted with the South African flag. She's in her
Absolutely.
Bok jersey. Tell us about Furries, Lorraine, because, I mean, this place has become, and you will have seen Rob here once or twice over the years.
Hi, Rob.
But it really has turned into a sporting institution as well. You know, like when there's a big game on, this is the place to come. I mean, that's something, did that happen organically? Was that always the case? I mean, how did that happen?
Lloyd, I think it was quite organically because, you know, it was always synonymous with Newlands rugby grounds.
Yeah.
And so Furries was always synonymous with that. And having been, you know, we were established in 1852, so we're the oldest establishment in South Africa. So obviously, just, you know, the rugby players came after playing, you know, the guys were all here waiting, and they would walk down to the grounds and then all come back up again. So, you know, it's just been forever.
Mm. And this World Cup, what you've seen over the last few weeks, particularly in the quarterfinals, semifinals, and today, I mean, you've got a huge big screen out here. The whole courtyard's going to be packed. You were telling me 800 people booked inside.
That's
expecting
correct.
Another 800 outside. I mean,
correct.
It's just huge. Is it kind of giving you flashbacks to 2019 a bit in terms of the energy and the vibe around the place at the moment?
Listen, right now it's giving me flashbacks to 1995. Yeah, so I mean, 1995, I mean, which for me, I was like in the country for about 5 years, and I had never seen or witnessed anything like it. The people out in the streets, the dancing, the hooting the cars, you know, it really was incredible. And then we got to 2007?
Yep.
And we had, I mean, people like overseas were on the phones, we were all literally going for it. And again, I mean, South Africans have just that culture. They just come together, stand together, no matter what. It was just incredible. Mm. And then in 19, you know, that was just one to really remember because,
yeah.
You know, with Sia and that whole, you know, we were just so inspired. So we're all ready. We're ready for it. You know, our fingers are crossed, our toes are crossed.
You got enough beer in the house.
Listen, we've been stacking the beer up for more than a week.
It's good to hear.
We're ready, Rob. Yeah.
It's a good thing Rob didn't pop down this week, otherwise it might not have been hopefully, Lorraine, in a few weeks' time, we expect the same kind of treatment when the Proteas make the final of the Cricket World Cup. We want the big screen in the courtyard as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, yesterday, when they won their game yesterday, we were already celebrating.
Lorraine, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck for the evening. You are going to have your hands full, but it's magic out here. The food is smelling amazing, and the energy is just great. So I hope you have a great night and all the best. It's Furries' fourth World Cup win as well, if we win today, not just the box. People will have, I'm sure you have some punters who will have celebrated all four within these walls. So all the best for the rest of the night.
Thank you, Lloyd. Thank you, guys.
Rob, the box come back on Tuesday. That was the word from Trucks in the week that, you know, that they'll Trucks comes back on Monday, the final obviously tonight, a couple of days. I think the World Rugby Awards are on Sunday. And hopefully when they come back on Tuesday, we start seeing those scenes that we saw in 2019, which was, I mean, unlike anything I've ever seen before in terms of my career, seeing South Africa look like that with just streets packed in all corners of the country following that bus around for 5 days. Wouldn't that be special to see that again?
It would indeed. I mean, you have obviously first-hand experience, having been sort of from city to city following the trophy tour. You know, trophy tour two would just be absolutely unbelievable. I think you'll probably see you know, an extra half of or a full 100% of the numbers that we had. You know, they'd probably perhaps try to creatively vary the destinations a little bit. Look, let's not get ahead of ourselves. let's not touch the money too much. You know, you can imagine that there'll be certain centres who felt they missed out last time that might well be tried. They might try to accommodate them this time.
Yeah.
Although, of course, you'll still have your regular sort of, you know, Johannesburg, Cape Town, Durban type of thing.
I remember Blum wasn't overly chuffed at the last one.
Yeah, and of course, they tend to get a little bit sidestepped from major sport these days too. Yeah. So not always happy there. But let's hope that there's cause for another trophy tour. But first, we have to do the business tonight. And it's going to be a monumental game of rugby.
It certainly will be. We're going to wrap up there. I think Faris is getting busier, and people are going to want the table we're sitting on, Rob, because they're looking at us going, you guys are podcasting here. We need to get stuck into our beers now and start building up for the game. But thank you so much to everybody who's listened. We've really enjoyed bringing you the inside pass throughout the tournament. We'll be back on Monday to talk back on what happens in the final, and hopefully it'll be a feeling of celebration when we do that and we can look back at how the Boks won the 2023 Rugby World Cup. That game, of course, kicks off at 9 o'clock tonight, and we will be bringing you every bit of action as it happens on News 24. Wherever you are, enjoy the game. Make sure you're safe in getting home, and we'll chat again on Monday. Cheers.